let's look at some of our memory verses here. How about Psalm 27:1? Psalm 27:1. Okay, let's go through this one a couple times here. Let's omit the first introductory part there, and we'll start with "The Lord is my." So, Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 27:1. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 27:1. Then if we could drop down to verse 14. Psalm 27:14. Let's go through this one twice as well. Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 27:14. Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 27:14. And then if we could go to 1 Corinthians 15:33. 1 Corinthians 15:33. And let's go through this one twice as well. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. 1 Corinthians 15:33. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Okay, and then Acts 4:12. And let's go through this one twice as well. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Okay. Then let's go to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, the last verse. As we look in on Stephen here. And Brother Jim, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the opportunity to be here tonight. We thank you for the freedom we have in our country, but Father, we are more grateful for the freedom we have in the Lord Jesus, what he's done for us on Calvary's cross. Father, we do pray for these that mentioned have physical needs, some may be traveling, that you would bless them and keep them safe. Father, as we assemble tonight, we look into your word, we ask that you would open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Father, we just thank you once again for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. The last verse of Acts 6, and what we're looking for tonight is a man whose only possession of land that he owned in his lifetime was a cemetery. Who is that man? The only possession of land that he actually owned in his life was a cemetery. Think about that. In Acts 6, the last verse, verse 15, and all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of what? An angel. And we're talking about Stephen here in verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people.
Now, in chapter 7, we're going to look at chapter 7. And as we look here, so we're looking at a man who's preaching a message to rebellious people, the Jews. And they're going to stone him at the end of the chapter. And something for us to think about, when we are dealing with rebellious people, what is the look on our face? I want you to notice, that's why I had us read that last verse in Acts 16:15. And all that sat in the council looking steadfastly on him saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. When we are singing, what kind of look do we have? Are we frowning? Are we smiling? Just something to keep in mind. If we're singing, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus," and we're, have kind of a frown on our face, you think that goes? Probably not. If it's so sweet to trust in Jesus, probably we should be doing what? Smiling. Right. If it's so sweet, we should be smiling. So some thoughts for us here. So as we look at what Stephen is saying and the crowd that he is facing, he has the face of an angel. So that's not a frowning face. So we're starting in chapter 7 now in verse 1. Did you figure it out yet who it is? You don't have to say it out loud, but are you still thinking, who in the Bible, his only possession in his life was a cemetery? Acts 7 verse 1, "Then said the high priest, 'Are these things so?' And he said, 'Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father," who?
Abraham.
"When he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelled in Charan, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans, and dwelled in Charan. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land, wherein ye now dwell. And he gave him," what?
None
inheritance in it. No, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child." So when we think of God's promise to Abraham, we often think of a land, but first and foremost, it was to be a nation. Notice with me in Genesis chapter 12. Let's look a little bit at exactly what God did promise Abraham. In Genesis 12 and verse 1. There was a home school group somewhere. We got a hold of a video that years ago. So they made this video, this film, and it really had that impact of, our lives are more than just us and our small little world, but our lives have an impact on the generation to come. And sometimes we feel like we are so insignificant. And yet, as I mentioned, I think it was Sunday, have you ever gone to put together a jigsaw puzzle and missing a piece? Every piece is important. Genesis 12:1. "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee," what?
"A great nation.
And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So we know of that promise to Abraham. He's going to make him a great nation. Let's drop down to verse 6. Genesis 12:6. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy, what?
Seed
will I give what?
This land.
Let's read that again. Unto thy what?
Seed
will I what?
Give this land.
Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. God says here specifically he's going to give this land to his seed. To his seed. Look in chapter 13 and verse 14. Genesis 13:14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For what? All the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and what?
To thy seed
forever. And I will make who?
Thy seed
as the dust of the earth. So that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall what?
Thy seed
also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Notice then in chapter 15, 15 in verse 7. Genesis 15:7. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that what? Thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In verse 18, in the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto who? Thy seed have I given what? This land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. So as you read through these passages, you keep finding God emphasizing that this land is going to be owned by his seed. And he mentions it to him as well, but the focus seems to always be on his seed in regard to this land, in his descendants. And that's why Abraham is called a sojourner. Now, a sojourner is someone who's dwelling somewhere temporarily. It's not their permanent habitation. Notice in Hebrews 11, it refers to Abraham in this fact. Hebrews 11:8. Hebrews 11:8. The Bible says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he what? Sojourned in the land of promise, as in what? Strange country. Dwelling in what?
Tabernacles.
Now, a tabernacle specifically is a tent. That's why the tabernacle in the Old Testament where the Ark of the Covenant was, that was a tent. And then Solomon built the first temple, so it was a tent. Why was it a tent? Why did God ordain that? Well, because that was they were in the wilderness and they were on the move. They were not in a permanent dwelling place. So by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is who? God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died what? In faith, not having received what? The promises, but having seen them what? Far off, and were what?
Persuaded
of them, and what? Embraced them, and confessed that they were what?
Strangers
and pilgrims on the earth. So this sums it up here in verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So Abraham was listening when God kept talking. I'm going to give you this land. But the emphasis was on his seed, on his descendants. They would be the ones who would own the land, actually be there and own the land. So the only land, maybe you figured it out by now, but it's Abraham. The only land he actually owns was a cemetery in his whole life. Look with me in Genesis 23. Genesis 23. He actually bought this piece of property for a cemetery. Genesis 23 and verse 1. Genesis 23, 1. And Sarah was 107 and 20 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah, and Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, the same as Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And Abraham stood up from before his dead and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, I am what?
A
stranger and a what? Sojourner with you. Give me a place. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. He didn't have a place to bury Sarah because none of that land was actually his yet. And the children of Heth answered Abraham, saying unto him, Hear us, my Lord, thou art a mighty prince among us. In the choice of our sepulchres bury thy dead. None of us shall withhold from thee his sepulchre, but that thou mayest bury thy dead. And Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, even to the children of Heth. And he communed with them, saying, If it be your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me, and entreat for me to Ephron, the son of Zohar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he hath, which is in the end of his field, for as much money as it is worth, he shall give it me for a possession of a what?
Burying
place amongst you. And Ephron dwelt among the children of Heth. And Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham and the audience of the children of Heth, even of all that went in at the gate of his city, saying, Nay, my Lord, hear me. The field give I thee, and the cave that is therein. I give it thee. In the presence of the sons of my people, give I it thee. Bury thy dead. And Abraham bowed down himself before the people of the land, and he spake unto Ephron in the audience of the people of the land, saying, But if thou wilt give it, I pray thee, hear me. I will give thee money for the field. Take it of me, and I will bury my dead there. And Ephron answered Abraham, saying unto him, My lord, hearken unto me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that betwixt me and thee? Bury therefore thy dead. And Abraham hearkened unto Ephron, and Abraham weighed to Ephron the silver, which he had named in the audience of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, current money with a merchant. And the field of Ephron, which is in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field and the cave which was therein, and all the trees that were in the field, that were in all the borders round about, were made sure unto Abraham for what?
A possession.
In the presence of the children of Heth, before all that went in at the gate of his city. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah his wife in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan. And the field and the cave that is therein were made sure unto Abraham for what?
A possession.
A possession of a what? Burying place by the sons of Heth. This was the only thing, piece of land that he actually owned in his lifetime. God promised him the promised land, always focusing on his seed, that they would actually inhabit the land. So it was Abraham, a man, he lived 175 years, and the only piece of ground he actually owned was a cemetery. And the reason I call it a cemetery, because more than just Sarah would be there. Notice in Genesis 49 and verse 29. This is Jacob talking to his sons on his deathbed. Genesis 49:29, and he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite. In the what? The cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham what?
Bought.
With the field of Ephron the Hittite for a what?
Possession.
Possession of a what? Burying place. That Abraham owned that. He bought that. There they buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah, his wife. And there I buried Leah. The purchase of the field and of the cave that is therein was from the children of Heth. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. So, is this a testament that Abraham was a failure? Because the only piece of ground he actually owned was a cemetery, living 175 years, and that was his only actual possession that he owned. God had promised him the land, emphasizing that it would go to his seed. No, he was not a failure. Actually, he was a sojourner his whole life. And the one thing he actually owned spoke of eternity. It was a cemetery. His focus, well, let's go back to Hebrews 11. Where was his focus? It was on heaven all along, and that was his only possession. Hebrews 11:8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he what?
Sojourned
in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for what?
A city
which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is who? God. That was his focus. Then if you drop down to verse 13, once again, these all died in what?
Faith.
Not having received what? The promises, but having seen them afar off, and were what?
Persuaded
of them, and what?
Embraced
them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they, what?
Seek
a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned, but now they desire what? A better country, that is, in what?
Heavenly.
Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. So his Abraham's focus, no, he wasn't a failure. Living 175 years, God promised him that land and that his seed would be the one to dwell there. But he was a sojourner. He dwelt in tabernacles. He dwelt in tents. Abraham never, in all those years, he never built a house because he never actually owned any piece of it on which to build unless he would have built next to a cemetery in that field. So Abraham, the man in the Bible whose only possession of land was a cemetery, his focus was on a heavenly city. And I pray that God would just help us. You know, there's all kinds of ways that people measure success. You know, if we lived a long life and died only owning a cemetery, do you think people would say we were weird? Probably. Do you think people would say that we were failures? If that's all we possessed? They probably would call us failures. Was Abraham a failure? No, he wasn't. So let people say what they want to. Let's keep focused on eternity. Focused on serving the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for examples like Abraham. You gave him a great promise to be a nation. You promised to bless all the families of the earth through his life. And Lord, it truly is amazing how that you said that Abraham and Sarah died in faith, embracing your promises, which lets us know that they did not die bitter, accusing you that you wouldn't fulfill the promise. They died believing that they were an important part in your plan, even though they didn't get to see the whole fulfillment of it. They died believing. They died embracing your promises. So Lord, help us, despite what we see in life or what we don't see in life, help us to have that same faith of Abraham and Sarah, to embrace your promises. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.